Martin Luther cringed at the very idea of creating a movement or starting some new faith. That was not his point. That was never his goal. And that was 499 years ago. He wanted the truth that would really set him free. And at the same time, he desired to share it in order to create a healthier Christian population that had been nurtured and educated in the Word of God from earliest childhood to old age. Because if we remember back, that was the time of the printing press, and therefore the people really didn't know the Word of God except what they heard in church. They couldn't read it. They didn't have it in their homes to teach their children, to make it the center of their lives. And he had come to believe that the scriptures alone would guide believers in the Lord Jesus Christ confidently through all of life's joys and sorrows. All we will ever need is found in God's love and grace that lives in us as we are nourished by the Word. Luther found his greatest comfort throughout his tempestuous life and career as he read and reread the assurances of Paul of salvation by faith through grace alone, which we heard in the passage from Romans that was read this morning. And if we look back in history, we find that in Luther's day, the Roman Catholic Church made a distinction between the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin. Forgiveness of guilt did not automatically eliminate the penalty or the consequences of one's sinful actions. Now, that may sound a little harsh, and Luther certainly found it harsh, but those that have been parents will recognize the dynamic a bit. A child playing ball too close to the house, what happens? A window breaks. Of course I love you, the parent says, and I forgive you for disobeying me. However, you'll have to do extra chores to pay for replacing the broken window. Both the forgiveness and the consequence, those are real. And these happen in our everyday lives. Forgiveness repairs the relationship between the parent and the child. And God forgives us and repairs that relationship between us. But something more is required to repair the window. Until the window is actually repaired, we still live with the consequences of sin. And sometimes God has already forgiven us, but the consequences of our sin live on in the memories of our family, our friends, and they continue to punish us instead of forgive us as God does. So in the medieval sacrament of penance, Christians confessed their sins to a priest and heard the words of divine forgiveness. Their relationship with God was restored. They were also told what they were required to do as penance to make satisfaction for their sins. Now, satisfaction might have involved fasting, doing good deeds, or saying a certain number of prayers, just saying it over and over and over again. Sometimes it was easy to see the correspondence between sin and consequences. The penalties, however, weren't always as clearly related to the sins as an example of replacing the broken window. Church leaders even wrote little books of penitentials and told the priests the approximate penalties for the various sins. Can you imagine? To ensure that they were fair. They spent an awful lot of time doing that instead of loving their neighbors as themselves. Luther thought this system would lead to Christians either to despair or to a place where they would place their confidence in indulgences rather than in Christ. And that's what we heard earlier in the stewardship speech right before we started church, right? About the indulgences. And that's what got this whole thing going. How easy and simple it would be to just throw a $50 bill in the offering plate when it comes by. Indulgences were like paying money to receive forgiveness for your or someone else's sins. Actually, you could pray for your grandmother's sins even though she was dead. You know, you wanted to be sure she went to heaven instead of purgatory, so you would keep praying that she got to go to heaven and put some money in the coffer. Luther saw the church taking advantage of people. And from his reading of the scriptures, God's grace and love and forgiveness was absolutely free. And he'd been flogging himself for years to make sure he got rid of every sin. And there still is today. No way that we can buy God's forgiveness with prayers or good deeds or cash. It is free. It's a free gift from God with the death and resurrection of his only Son. And if we don't understand that, we're rejecting God's precious gift to us. This free gift from God had deep meaning for Luther. If you have seen the 2003 movie version of the life of Luther, you understand how he came to this decision. How many of you have seen that movie? 2003. I showed it to my confirmation kids at Holy Trinity, and it really got the message across to them. And I suggest you try and get it on Netflix or something like that, because it'll give you a deep understanding of where the church was 500 years ago and how they came to where we are today. In the early years of his life, Luther was a slave to the thought patterns of the Middle Ages. And he was a slave to the religious practices of the Roman Catholic Church at that time. His father beat him so severely with a rod that he bled. And in the movie, you see what that relationship was like with his father. Luther thought that God, his heavenly father, was like his earthly father. God, his heavenly father, would punish him severely for any little infraction or disobedience or mistake that he made. He was not a free man. I can't imagine how terrified he must have felt comparing God and his earthly father. There are still people today who fear that their sin or sins, whatever they might be, will keep them beholden to God and cannot believe that God has forgiven them and expects no satisfaction for their sins. There are people who still believe if something disastrous occurs in their life, that that is God punishing them for something. And that is not the God of love that we know. There is a young man who I've known for over 20 years. He was sentenced to prison for over 30 years for killing his sister. He confessed his guilt to me just before the trial and before he admitted it to his mother. He was raised in the church. He went to an adult and youth Bible study every week. So, of course, he was concerned about his relationship with God as well as his relationship with his family and his friends. I said to him that if he confessed, we have to admit to our wrongs, our sins, to God, and repented for his sin, God would forgive him. That is the deep love God has for us. However, society under secular law, not God's law, still expects satisfaction for the sin of killing his sister. In Luther's explanation of the 95 Theses, which if you want to read them, I have them right here. I used to make my confirmation kids kind of look at them. They're a little repetitive, as Luther could be, but I have them. He goes on to say, wait, and here he develops this central theme. The gospel is a preaching of the incarnation of the Son of God, given to us without any merit on our part for salvation and peace. It is a word of grace, a word of comfort, a word of joy. And those are what we wish for Pastor Carmelo's family this day. He goes on to say that the law is fulfilled not by our works, but by the grace of God. Not through works, but through faith. Not by anything that we can possibly offer to God, but for all that we have received from Christ. It is all gift. Christ has already paid the full price. We thank Martin Luther for enlightening us to this truth so that we too can live free and offer to God our gratitude, our lives, that they may be rich and fulfill needs of others in this world. We thank God this day for his love and grace, which was made known to us through Martin Luther. Amen.